Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off, brought to us by our good friends at FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in the studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. Yeah, neither of us suffering from elbow or shoulder issues, at least not yet, but we'll see how hard we're pitching. Guys, you know, I don't want to focus on the Tigers because it's a pandemic.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a pandemic in the sport. Injuries. We saw this coming, though, Keith.
Well, yeah, short training camp. And, you know, the 3 weeks, so they get right into it. They start throwing, trying to get guys out, and boom, boom, boom. Max Scherzer went down the other day.
Yep.
He's out for, what, six to eight weeks?
Yeah.
Only
one other
core injury.
Only one other time in his career has he spent any time on the DL. A 14-year
he's
career?
A horse.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
And baseball players, like other athletes, are creatures of habit. They have their routines for spring training, how they get together, how they get ready for the oncoming season. Everything was sped up. And this now we're living in that reality right now, and especially for the Tigers, it really stinks.
Well, the surprising thing to me, guys, is that pitchers should still have been throwing. These guys are professionals. They, you know, they should have been at their high schools or whatever. And so that kind of part is disappointing to me.
Instead, they were busy tweeting, bitching about the, Major League Baseball.
I think A.J. Hinch actually said something early on in the season that he was happy the way his pitching staff did pitch in the offseason. He had made, there's a quote out there early in the year that he had said that with the Casey Mizes and the Mannies, those younger guys had really done a good job coming into camp in shape.
Well, Rodriguez goes down yesterday, and that looks like it's the same kind of injury that Scherzer has. It's not a shoulder. It's
right.
A side. It's an oblique is what they call it. Who was it? Pineda got a broken finger on his pitching hand. Great stuff there. My shut down and pushed back inside of his rehab start.
Yep.
Same thing with Manning, but Manning was just a little bit out of shape. So we'll see where that happens. But they were kind of hoping that he would pitch in Minnesota, and that's going to get pushed back. So you're going to have, you know, I don't know if they're going to try to move Fulmer back to a starting position. He was a starter for a number of years. That could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? Fado, Scooble, and...
Bo Brisky.
Brisky's been all right.
Brisky's been really all right. So is Fiedo, really. And
yes.
And Tarik Skubal is having a great year. Almost
well,
Cy Young kind of numbers. 3-2 with a 2.50 ERA, this kid.
You're going to see Wentz again, even though he got lit up pretty good. But I think that was a pretty nervy stuff. He's a pitcher that if you can't get strikes, he's going to get killed. So they're going to give him at least one more time. I don't know if they'll see Jackson Jobe. You know, that kid is supposed to be a wonder product. So, you know, we still got a lot of guys. Who is it? Tyler Alexander, but not going to pitch this year for live pitching. So we've drafted a lot of pitchers. We're going to see a lot of pitchers.
We will. All that said about all these injuries, you're talking about four-fifths of the rotation gone.
Yeah.
They are still among the top third in the league in every statistical category in pitching.
Well,
they're pitching
incredible.
Really. 3.9 runs is ninth in Major League Baseball. 7.3 hits tied for ninth. 2.28 batting average against is 11th. 3.60 ERA is 10th. And on and on and on. Their pitching is great. Hitting at the very bottom in almost every statistical category.
When we were here last week, we said the Tigers needed to sweep the Orioles, and they did. They did do that. That was great,
yep.
You know. But then,
they took one out of three in Tampa. Which has been a house of horrors.
Yeah.
The Tigers have never been good indoors. They just never have been. You know, remember when the Twins used to play?
God.
Oh, that's a hefty bag.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
So, I mean, really, the season, I hate to say it, is going to boil down to these next four series. Two with the Guardians or the Colossus or whatever the hell, Gargantuans. I don't know what their name is. The Justice, the Cleveland Justice. The Cleveland Injustice is maybe what it should be.
Right.
And the Twins. Now, the Twins are leading the Central. Tigers get them there for three and then at home for three. With the way the Tigers have started, guys, they need to be on the positive side of eight wins against these teams, and maybe we can look at them climbing back into this. The Twins, you know, end up taking five out of seven or six, you know.
They'll never catch up.
I don't think so.
But, they're only nine games back of the Twins. Like you said, if they finish on the positive side and close that gap a little bit, the surprise in the division to me is Chicago. They're 19-19.
Well, they're struggling. They've hit Elroy with Jimenez or whatever is injured again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Injuries play a big part. And you know what? The Twins are one of the least injured teams in baseball.
Yep. Right.
Yep. So, this is starting to sound like football to me.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. Check out the injury list before you do anything, for sure.
It's not who you play or when you play them. It's who's playing.
Yeah. And, good things for the Tigers. First baseman rookie there.
Torkelson.
Spencer Torkelson. Yeah. His last two at-bats on the thing. Got a double, then a home run.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we had a day off then. Yeah. He just starts to really get into a rhythm, and then they got a day off.
This team needed a day off, though. They played a lot of baseball. May 3rd was their last day off, so they needed one. And we're going to have a good one tonight. Tarik Skubal's back on the mound. This guy's got 45 strikeouts in 39 and two-thirds innings. He's pitched so good.
And they're pitching against the worst starting pitcher in baseball.
Aaron Civale. He's 1-3 with a 9.85 ERA, but that guy's been tough on the Tigers in previous seasons.
Well, I was listening to somebody yesterday, and right now a lot of pitchers have been tough on the Tigers, but we saw some hints, some long ball action from the guys at Candelario, and got to get Baez going. It'd be really helpful to get Austin Meadows back in the freaking lineup. Yeah. I don't know how long you can have vertigo.
Right. Inner ear infection and causing all of that. But, we really miss him because he was one of the few guys that was consistently hitting.
Right. And continue really not – I read stories about Riley Green, but not any – projection of when he's going to return to the lineup.
Right. Yeah. I think he's just been cleared for baseball activities. Actually, batting practice, standing up instead of on his knees, which is what he'd been doing.
The other team that is not injured at all and stomping all over everybody is your favorites, Keith.
Yanks?
My gosh.
Yeah, they look like a real team. How about the whole West Coast teams? The Mets and the Yankees and the Giants and the Dodgers all leading their divisions.
I think Judge has as many home runs as the Tigers team does right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, he's got 14, I think, so he's close to it.
Well, he plays in a bandbox, okay, and that guy certainly looks a lot like Paul Bunyan.
He does.
Mighty Casey comes to the plate. But their pitching staff has been completely intact, and Rizzo and all the other guys, they're playing good baseball. They looked like they were shaky for a little bit. On the inverse, the Sox suck.
Red Sox.
Not much going on there. My Giants are playing really good baseball. That's going to be a really interesting race between them and the Dodgers again this year.
Yes.
The Mets are as advertised. Who's got a bigger payroll, Dodgers or the Mets?
Mets spent a lot of money, of money in the offseason.
Yeah. And it looks a new owner and you're
paying off.
Money,
yeah.
Baby.
Good to see.
I don't know when that talk will start, but Subway Series is going to be starting coming out of people's mouths in July.
That's right.
And then we can all start throwing up. this is a problem made out of both sides, okay? The players and the owners were equally as responsible for what happened in Major League Baseball, and now they're both playing the price.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris Illich has got to be praying for a little rise and a little more interest in the Tigers. If they can win two out of three in Cleveland and two out of three in Minnesota, then when these return to play these same teams, maybe we'll see 17,000, 20,000, which is still paltry compared to the heyday. The speech that we heard Miguel Cabrera give to the guys, you can see what this city is like when Tiger baseball is strong. So that's all I care about. You know, I want to see a product on the field that we can be proud of, that we anticipated when the season started.
Yeah, because the hopes were so high coming into this year, because if I had spent some money, you know, we'd gone through those years of the rebuild, you know, the pitching staff, and it was young, but a lot of potential, and we love the pitching coach, and we love A.J. Hinch as the manager, and it has not started off the way we were hoping
for. All that optimism, it started to wither in the last week of training camp before they came north, when Riley Green went down, and it just was dominoes after that. All of a sudden, you know, we understand why it's happened, but it's really, really frustrating, because this team is, we had high hopes for this team.
Yeah, Javi Baez hitting .204 in 29 games. You know, the problem was that his injury really kind of derailed him. He was playing pretty good baseball, hitting the ball rather well. He goes down with an oblique. You know, we're lucky to get him back in 2 weeks. Either he's...
You never know when it's going to go again.
And well, those way he's
the
a
way
big,
he swings,
oh, my gosh, he's a big swinger. He just, every pitch, that everything he goes after it. I mean, it is not... He's just hitting for a single or anything. He's trying to land that baby in the upper deck, if there were an upper deck at Comerica there. But he's a hard-swinging guy. But I agree, JC, early on to start the season, he was red hot and playing well. And then an injury came along, and that has certainly taken his season
and
down.
And he doesn't have nearly the protection in the lineup with Meadows out. Right. And, you know, luckily Cabrera's been good. He's probably the biggest surprise of the year.
Way better than we could have expected.
Yeah, yeah. He's just...
You better keep it up.
I think he
sees the potential. He sees the possibility, and he is healthy. So, you know, baseball's a funny game, Keith. You know, Torkelson could get hot, and you know, one guy... can ignite the whole lineup,
exactly right.
Whoever it is, you know, whether it's Scope or you know, Hill's come in and provided some interesting at bats, but the record is what it is, and they've got to get wins. And you know, credit to A.J. Hinch, he's not really happy. You know, he kind of babied this team last year. That ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, injuries or not, the expectations are still high in his eyes and in his book. He's expecting wins.
He's a winner.
Yeah,
I mean,
he is.
You know, he, just like Sparky Anderson, you know, Anderson won how many division championships and pennants at Cleveland? He did not He did not come to Detroit throw pom-poms around. And Hinch is not the same thing. He knew what he inherited. We got lucky to get him. But now it's time to win. I don't care about playing good. We can play like poop.
Right, and still win.
But we need to win baseball games.
We do.
I don't care if we win it 1-0 or what was the Indiana-Iowa score, guys? Did you see that yesterday? Iowa and Indiana. Iowa was down 12-0 to Indiana. Came back and scored 13 runs in the following inning. The final score was 30-18.
Oh, my God. I did not see that.
Wow. It was a spring football game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What is it? We play baseball in a football game. So, go Tigers. And all of that action happens right here on Up North Sports Radio 101.1 on your dial. And we'll be following along. Hopefully, we're here next week talking about the ship turning around.
Absolutely.
We got a lot of other things to cover. Pistons get a little unlucky in the lottery. The hockey is in full steam. Keith, you do look a little baggy-eyed.
I've been watching a lot of hockey. But I've been sneaking over to the NBA, too. There's some good games over there, man.
No good games. What do you mean? It's been blowout city for the last week or so.
A little bit of that, but it's surprising.
Well, I wasn't surprised about Dallas. So I talked to you guys last week about the comparison and why I think that Luka Doncic is actually a better player than Larry Bird.
Yeah.
And he showed it
the
next two nights against Phoenix.
He did.
I mean, you know, now the Warriors are a whole different other animal, and I will get into a little explanation on why I think that's happened. And we also got a little Lions spring training or summer camp is starting.
We need to talk a little college football, too. There's some news
this week.
Oh,
yeah, you think that was a little interesting?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely I did.
That's right. We've got it all for you right here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. And one of the things I love about betting my favorite sports on FanDuel is finding new player props or game props that I like. And that's what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now multiple sports. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus. You can only find them on FanDuel. Combine an NBA playoff player like Marcus Smart,
yep.
And then combine him with Javi Baez. Let's see Baez getting a home run here. And for a chance to score an even bigger payout.
If you don't want to build your own same game parlay, check out their popular same game parlay section where you can join the bets others are using to jump on. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000.
Make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use the promo code WGRY so they know that I sent you. 21 and over and present in Michigan. First line money, real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave, our hockey guru. And we were just talking about the St. Louis Blues, the surprise team in the playoffs, even though you picked them to beat the Wild, which was kind of shocking to me. I thought the Wild...
Minnesota's a good team. I mean,
when they got Fleury,
oh, yeah.
Really turned that team around.
But they're kind of earlier in the development, and St. Louis has a whole bunch of guys who have their name on the Stanley Cup from a few years ago. This is not a team to take lightly, and I did take Colorado to beat St. Louis, but in seven games. A lot of people think it's going to be a four- or five-game sweep. Uh-uh. Last night, the Blues proved with that 4-1 victory. And you mentioned, JC,
big time on FanDuel, by the way.
Their power play is lethal.
Lethal.
I tell you what, Colorado's in tough for a team that's favored to win the Stanley Cup this year. The number one odds on favorite.
You know, they got a lot of kids on defense, and they make a lot of mistakes on defense, Colorado does.
Yeah, but they also have the best defenseman in the game in Cale Makar.
Well,
he is a hell of a player. He got bumped last night. It looked like his lower body, he's got a leg injury. Now it's going to be interesting to see how he survives. Talk about bumping. That's a heavy-hitting series, St. Louis, Colorado.
Yeah, well, you know, they learned their lessons very quickly and bogged down. It looked like some of those teams used to do to the Wings, 1-4, and kind of throttling back that speedy attack that Colorado likes to feature, and they're going to have to counter it themselves. You notice that they were trying to, Colorado, which likes to carry the puck in, started dumping and chasing. That's not a style I think they're accustomed to, Keith. They're going to have to learn how to do that pretty quickly.
They are. Seven-game series are always, battles of adjustments. Who can make the adjustments and so on. And St. Louis is adjusted pretty well, especially in the power play against a pretty good, penalty-killing team. Colorado's got to adjust now. Another team that's got to adjust somehow.
Florida.
Absolutely, Rich.
Keith, the adjustments are over.
Special teams are so important, as you pointed out, St. Louis, and how well they're doing on the power play. Complete opposite end of the spectrum with Florida, 0-25 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
How did they even advance in the first round?
Well, the Bruins won the Stanley Cup in 1995, having not scored a power play goal. They were 0-30 to start the playoffs.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Panthers have a very fine offense, but, I thought we talked about this last week. It looked like Tampa had hit the wall. All the extra playoff games and everything else had just kind of rattled them a little bit too much. And Braden Point is still out.
Yeah.
But they I'm sorry, but they have the best playoff goalie.
They do. Yeah. They were down 3-2 to Toronto and should have lost that series and didn't. They found a way to win that game. And then they go to Florida, the President's Trophy winning team, the best team in the regular season, tremendous offense, and a goaltender, Sergei Bobrovsky, they call him Bob, you know, who really kind of made the turn and was playing pretty good hockey, and suddenly they're down. Florida's down 0-2. A goal with under 4 seconds to go. A massive defensive breakdown yesterday. The game's going into overtime, and all of a sudden, the score in Tampa. Heart of a champion. They're playing like champions.
Yeah, they don't want to give up. They don't want to give up the ghost.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
And, and this is you know, 2 years in a row now that Stamkos has been able to play fully in the playoffs. And even though he's not lighting up the scoring sheet, he's so important to what
they
do.
Are you kidding me? That guy, did you see him in the last couple of minutes of the game? He blocked 4 shots last night.
Yeah.
This is a 50-goal score in this league.
Like I said, what he's doing is not showing up in the score sheet.
And 2 blocks in the final minute to save the game.
But he plays winning hockey.
Yeah. They had 24 blocked shots yesterday. They're stepping in front of the – you're sacrificing your body to win hockey games.
Look at the Panthers – really don't like playing against Tampa. They've lost to them in the playoffs a number of years. And now they got to go to Tampa. They get 2 days off to travel. They could
go 3.5 hours.
They could walk to the arena.
JC, I have one question for you. I was looking forward to talking hockey this morning on the show with you to find out how you're going to bet, if you're going to bet, the Calgary-Edmonton game tonight after that game. We all thought that there'd be a few goals scored in that series.
I bet the under.
15 goals?
I bet the under in the first game, because the unders have been good.
They have.
What can you say? Whatever the odds are, there's not going to be 15 goals scored in there. I don't know what the coaches said to those guys afterwards, especially at the Edmonton, giving up 9 goals. What did they give up? 3 goals in
the first couple of minutes.
5 minutes.
Two goals in the first minute, I think, are close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're up 3-0, and the game's over, right? You think?
Not with Drysdale, and
Connor McDavid.
Yep.
They came back and tied at 6-6 and lose at 9-6.
I tell you, Connor McDavid, for me, watching him skate and the way he goes through defense, it's just like it's poetry in motion. I mean, it's unbelievable to watch that guy.
He's the most gifted player in the league for sure, and now he's putting it all together at the right time.
Well,
he's never been able to raise his game, to find another notch for the playoffs. He's doing it this year. He's leading in every way you can expect a captain to lead.
To have Draisaitl, it's kind of like, when Yzerman used to have Fedorov on the line with him.
That's exactly right.
There's just so much more room for both of them.
Yep.
It's impossible to really defend them properly.
Mm-hmm.
But
those two guys. You look at Yzerman, Fedorov. Look at Colorado from that era with Sakic and Forsberg.
Yeah, yeah.
You go back to the Edmonton days with Gretzky and Messier.
Yeah.
Those are the great teams in the history of the game.
Well, they had a guy named Yari Curry, too.
Glenn Anderson.
I'm just saying, usually Messier and Gretzky did not skate on the same line.
No, they were the top two centers in the game.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying, when you have a great center with a fantastic winger, that's really tough sledding. The bet that I've been touting for the last few days, guys, is the Hurricanes at +500 to win the Cup.
That's a good bet.
Yeah,
that's a really good bet.
Yeah,
I'm
assuming that the Hurricanes will beat the Rangers. The Rangers just have too many holes in that lineup, and too many young guys.
They're young. They're young. But Gerard Gallant is doing a great job with that team.
No, I agree. But I just got to imagine, unless Tampa gets lucky enough to get out of that series in 4 and 5 games, and they get a chance to rest. They got to hit the wall.
Yeah.
And Carolina plays a style of hockey that's going to give Tampa a lot of problems.
They are.
So I think Carolina easily not easily, but it looks to be pretty favorable to play in the Stanley Cup and then whatever. So plus 500 for those guys. You can get that on FanDuel right now before those odds go down.
Yeah.
Don't tell me I didn't warn you.
And Keith, as Gerard Gallant, you know, went to the Rangers after being with Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I see Vegas fired his guy that they had backfilled with
him. Owner? Who owns the Golden Knights?
You know what? I don't know if it's the owner. It might be the owner, but, you know, pushing the buttons. But the guy who's really making a lot of these strange decisions, I think, is Kelly McCrimmon, Brad McCrimmon, the former Red Wing defenseman who died in a plane crash. Kelly McCrimmon, the GM there, is it's a master class in impatience with that team.
Right.
They made it to the Stanley Cup
their first year, and they've been going backwards ever since.
It ruined them.
Yep.
Spoiled them.
This is the way it's supposed to be. Well, in year five or six, whatever, next season, they're going to be back to where you expect an expansion team to be. They're not going to make the playoffs again next year. This team is kind of a mess, folks.
Right.
And it shouldn't be.
Yeah, they caught lightning in a bottle, and it was a dang miracle of what happened. But Keith, who's the odds-on favorite now to be the Red Wings next coach?
I don't know. People keep asking me that, and I wish I could tell. Listen.
Well, isn't Stevie Yzerman sleeping on your couch?
Right.
This guy speaks to nobody.
Houghton Lake, Michigan.
He doesn't confide in anybody. I talked to Jimmy D, and Jimmy says, "I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he's doing." I mean, I really thought Lane Lambert was a leading candidate, which is why Trotz was fired and they hired
Lambert. That's exactly why.
But you know, I like Barry Trotz. He would be a leading candidate for me. They need an experienced NHL coach who can teach and demand defense from this team. Or a guy I like, nobody's mentioned him. I'm the only guy who's mentioned Joel Quenneville, a guy who's won three Stanley Cups and is unemployed.
Well, I think, you know this way better than I do, but it just popped into my pea brain, my hockey pea brain, that I don't think that Yzerman is going to hire Quenneville or Trotz or anything else, because just what you said, he wants a guy that is going to do exactly what he tells him to do, which is why he hired Cooper.
Right.
And he goes, this is the way that I built this team to play. It's almost like Moneyball, Keith, where, you know, Billy Bean had it out with the manager and started moving pieces around.
Right.
You know, what did the manager keep saying? The lineup is mine.
Right.
He goes,
Right.
Completely agree with you there. So I'm going to change your freaking lineup.
Right.
And I think that's what you're going to hear a name that only you are going to know.
Right.
Rich and I are going to go, who the hell is this guy?
Exactly.
Because he's going to run the playbook that Yzerman wants run.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, I'll give Yzerman the benefit of the doubt if he finds the coach that he wants for this particular team and so on. I'm okay with that. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I see these great experienced coaches out there unemployed needing jobs, and I know how good they'd look behind that Detroit bench. That's all.
I'm just you know Stevie better than I do, and if he gets Joel Quenneville in there, Quenneville's going to want to do things his way, and whether or not that is the way Yzerman wants things done is a question. So that would be the interesting meeting, right? If Trotz or Quenneville or one of these other guys shows up in the office.
Be a lie on the wall there.
Right.
Oh, man. That would be awesome.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your Hard Knocks for hockey, Rich.
Yeah.
When we return here on Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off, we will talk about there's a lot of things to talk about, but I can't wait anymore. We got to hit the Nick Saban.
Oh. Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo Fisher, oh. Nick Saban. Nick
We're
Saban.
Done.
The gloves
Nick,
came
Nick Saban
off.
Saban is not God. No. This just in.
Right.
Back after these on Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel.
Good life.
Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And, guys, just before we get into our Nick Saban Jimbo Fisher discussion, right there at the end, they mentioned Keegan, who's the kid from Iowa, Rich?
Keegan Murray.
Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
has already been in discussions with the Pistons. And as we know, the Pistons got slightly jobbed. They got moved down
slightly.
It's only two positions, Keith. It's not like how the Red Wings got pushed down seven positions.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to get a really good player.
Right. Very fortunate this year. Depth.
Depending, it's like if they had the second or the third position, then they'd have to, you know, they'd be in the, like, do we got to take Chet Holmgren,
right.
And I'm like, no,
no, I don't,
no, I don't want him. I'd rather have the Murray kid or Jaden Ivey or a few other guys that are going to be available there. Look at all the experts say you've got the three guys there. You got Jabari Smith and Banchero and Holmgren, and then there's a drop off. Well, you know, Jimmy Butler was picked 15th in the draft.
Yeah,
and half of the NBA superstars are not first picks overall in the draft. It's about finding the guys that are going to be great players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like a lot of things about Murray. Like his dad was an NBA player for a long time, and I saw the interview with him, and he's just telling me, I love basketball. You know, people were talking about Kayvon Thibodeau maybe not loving football so much. Well, the Lions drafted, every guy that they drafted loves football.
Yep.
And I told you guys that they were all captains except for Jameson Williams. You got to love the sport.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't love the sport, you got issues. And, you know, this is a huge draft for the Pistons. I don't mind Ivy at all. I think Ivy's going to be a big star in the NBA.
Could you imagine him with Cade Cunningham, the totally two different kinds of games, the explosive athlete of Ivy, and then Cade Cunningham more methodical? And, one of the guys they keep talking about, Jason, again, a kid I didn't even know existed, was this Shadon Sharp, who committed.
He never played.
A lot of people have Detroit picking him.
Super Canadian kid, only 18 years old.
I don't know. There's a couple other guys that I actually like a whole bunch. Rich and I were talking about this. Keegan Murray, Shadon Sharp. Man, you take a look at where the rest of this draft fills out, and it's crazy. Like, I saw 12 mock drafts, and they had the Pistons with 12 different guys.
This A.J. Griffin from Duke, I don't know much about him as far as – he didn't really jump out on my screen.
The Mathurin kid from Arizona is a fantastic player. Yeah. He plays two-way. The Pistons have got to get somebody who can play a lot of defense.
And
the problem with Murray is that he's not really super quick and not a great defensive player.
Yeah.
So I, you know, there's a few other guys like the Jeremy Sochan from Baylor has got a lot of upside. He's got really good size. He's 6'9", really fast. And, you know, hopefully you can bring his offense along, but this is a guy that plays a lot of defense. And if you watched the NBA playoffs, guys, it's about flipping defense.
It is. Yeah. You see how ratcheted up the defense is, because they don't, in the regular season, it's nothing like playoff basketball.
You saw what it did to Chris Paul. I mean, they changed the way they play defense on him, and he disappeared.
Yeah. Hard to believe.
Disappeared.
A veteran of that many games, and that they took him completely out.
That's right. Same thing with my buddy Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
I mean,
that first game.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Jason, you mentioned Jimmy Butler a few minutes ago, he's a hard guy not to like. I didn't realize he was drafted 15th overall. See what his coach said about him the other day? There's a lot of guys in this league that are playing basketball. He's competing to win.
Right.
That's a totally different thing. And then what Butler himself said, talk about physicality and defense. I like physicality. I want to run into people and see who falls first.
Jimmy Butler was the 30th overall pick.
It's mind-boggling.
In the 2011
so he almost went to the second round.
I want to run into people and see who falls down first, who's going to quit first.
Yeah.
And this guy's had 5 40-point games as a member of the Heat, all in the playoffs.
He's
what
a
player.
Yeah,
a winner.
You know, it's the same thing that happened to who's the guy that didn't play at all this year, Rich, who was the NBA MVP for Toronto? Played for the Clippers. Did not play one game this year.
He's out in L.A. now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't
that's
talk.
What he did for the Raptors, and that's what you're looking at Jimmy Butler, although I really don't think that the Miami can beat Boston if the Boston stays healthy.
Well,
They just have a way deeper bench, and Bam Adebayo is disappeared completely, and you can't, no matter how good Jimmy Butler is, no matter how good Luka Doncic is, the reason why the Milwaukee Bucks got bounced by the Boston Celtics is because their second best player was out of the game. You cannot win. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, with Horford,
Magic,
Smart back.
I don't think even look at, we did when Michael Jordan was just Michael Jordan before Scottie Pippen and everything else.
That's right.
The Pistons had their way with it.
That's right.
And that's what's unless the other guys in Dallas step up and make some shots. Because Doncic hit a lot of guys with wide open, and they didn't hit their shots.
Right.
This is the biggest difference in the NBA in the playoffs, especially home and away.
Yeah.
You just see the difference in the secondary players playing at home versus on the road, and that's what really let down Miami last night.
Big time. That's why that was such a big win for Boston in Miami last night.
You mentioned, Rich, when you get Marcus Smart and Al Horford back, makes a difference.
No, it'd be a difference. The NBA defense.
24-12-9 for Marcus Smart last night. What a
Butler went from 41 to what?
29. And the next player behind him, the highest player, had 14 points.
Yeah, that's Tyler Hero. I mean, this is what's kind of surprising to me is the blowouts.
I mean
we've seen a plethora of blowouts. It's probably going to happen tonight in Golden State too. I don't know if Jason Kidd can figure this out and get those guys to play, because look at the Warriors are feeling it. This is a team that's won 3 NBA championships, and the Warriors are feeling it. Look at Draymond Green.
He is,
I don't care,
motivated.
What you say about that guy. Mother plays hard.
He does. He plays above his 6'7" height. He does all the dirty work. He doesn't mind mixing it up. He's one of those guys that wants to test your heart
Andrew
every time
Wiggins.
On the floor.
How the Golden State got Andrew Wiggins is ridiculous. He was a bust in Minnesota, and he played some serious defense last night. But Jason Kidd, they figured it out against. I mean, they got rocked by the Suns in the first 2 games, and they ended up winning that series in 6. So, but Steve Kerr is not going to take them lightly, and I expect some tighter games. I'm sure that Dallas won't get blown out by 40, but I don't think that Dallas can win tonight, and. And I don't know if Nick Saban can win this debate, Keith. Jimbo Fisher really took a little exception, and so did Coach Prime. Those guys
sure
are in a TV commercial together, Rich.
I can't wait for the next shoot of that commercial.
Well, except for, I hate to say it, Saban was right about that. It was all over the papers that guy was getting $1 million NIL. So
why else would he go there?
For him to come out and say that everybody at Texas A&M was paid is pretty sticky stuff.
Yeah.
You know what though? He knows this. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. And Jimbo Fisher was doing that crap where Florida State. Yeah. Now the SEC has already reprimanded them, right? Oh, shh,
they have.
Don't tell our secrets,
right? Yeah,
I don't know. That conference is a
and that's what I thought
cheaters.
Was kind of ironic, was that Saban calling out another team for paying players or whatever, when the SEC is notorious for having these deals go on for years and years.
Now it's legal. Now you can talk about
absolutely.
It.
No, it's not. It's not legal to bring somebody we have a $450,000 NIL license for you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But, it is the Wild West, and the NCAA is not going to split hairs here. This is not the old University of Illinois kids.
Mike White.
I got 17 kids that are getting paid by the athletic department to cut the grass at the football stadium, which is artificial turf.
Yes.
Still
yes.
My favorite
yes.
of all time.
I'm still working on the mower.
But, I don't know if this is, nuclear Armageddon, we got missiles pointed at each other. So, I mean, if Fisher said there's a reason Nick has had as much success as he had, gee, what do you think he's alluding to, Keith?
That
he's a great coach?
No. That he's paid players in the past.
Right.
We all know that.
Are there going to be guidelines? Are there going to be rules set up for these NILs and things like that at some point? There's got to be something done. Or, like you said, it just continues to be the wild, wild west.
Michigan doesn't have to worry about it because they're not getting too many. Although, you know, in basketball, Dickinson said that one of the reasons why he decided to stay is because he's got a couple of nice NILs.
Nice.
So, if that causes collegiate basketball players to stay at their programs for an extra year
I'm all for it.
I think it's a great thing.
Oh, I do,
because
too.
The biggest problem with collegiate basketball is guys walking out the door after the first year.
That's right.
So I'm for that.
I am too.
And I'm for the other minor sports getting NILs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem with it.
I agree. I have zero problem with it.
So I don't know why. What Saban has a problem with the fact that there's so many more rich boosters at Texas A&M as opposed to Alabama, which is probably true, Keith.
Probably
I would think
is.
So.
Yeah.
And Miami's got a few, obviously, because
you think Georgia has a few? I mean, come on.
There we go.
Yeah. Who's going to be screaming? And we haven't heard from him yet, but it's coming. Is your buddy at Mississippi State?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was taking. He said for the first time he's speechless.
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, first time he said I'm speechless because seeing the two big guys go
often.
After.
Well, just saying, Oxford, Mississippi is not a haven for billionaires. So, Kiffin is going to be looking for a bigger, better school to be.
Did he make some friends at USC? Did he get to know some guys that somehow,
those guys. What do you mean? What's his name's at USC now?
Oh yeah. He's gonna. But the guys that
how many transfers? 26 transfers into that program.
Yeah.
They just got an All-American wide receiver from Pitt that just transferred yesterday. Unbelievable.
At USC with an NIL, boy, times are tough.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly better figure that out for UCLA.
No kidding.
In a hurry, and he shouldn't have any problem doing it. So. Yeah, Michigan's going to have to sharpen their knives a little bit,
Even the players are saying that.
Ann Arbor and Columbus probably have the same type of tax basis. So, Ann Arbor's got a lot of IT money in that town.
Sure does.
And it's not quite as big as Columbus, but, if that's where we're going, if this is a nuclear arms race, then Michigan is going to have to get a guy like is on a staff at Texas A&M that's talking to boosters and how many.
Why wouldn't that be the first thing you did with this new rule?
Yeah.
Just hire an NIL guy or an NIL staff, for God's sake.
You still have to get them in academically.
Yeah.
And we all know the different academic rules between Ohio State and the University of Michigan.
You mentioned that. How long do you think it's going to be before we see Michigan and Ohio State in a Big Ten championship game, both from the same division?
As soon as they change the rule.
It's changed. They changed it Wednesday.
Well, did you take a look at FanDuel for the futures for the Big Ten?
No.
Okay, Ohio State is minus 230.
Mm.
Okay, that means that's how much of a favorite they are.
Yep.
Wisconsin is next at plus 500, and Michigan is third at plus 850. And your Spartans are plus 2,300 to win the Big Ten. I actually like that bet a little bit because they got Ohio State and Michigan at home.
At home. Yeah.
But, and that's that you don't have to bet a lot of money to see if the Sparties catch fire.
Right.
And Mel Tucker continues to be the guy that you think he is. But that's how favored Ohio State is.
That quarterback is phenomenal.
Yeah,
Stroud or Stroud?
The frickin' ball. We'll see,
The receivers are in the NFL now.
Right. They do have one left about that. Yeah, most of the other ones went in the first round.
We'll see. I mean, we've got a long way to talk about that, but I just, you couldn't dodge the Saban Fisher stuff. You couldn't miss it.
Here it is, May 20th or 21st, whatever, we're talking about college football. I don't mind that.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
Sitting next to him, if you saw that video, Nate Oates, it was the head basketball coach sitting there. Didn't say a flipping word.
Yeah, he's just like sitting there going,
I'm out.
Oh,
I'm out.
To the right.
I got nothing.
When we return here, we got a whole bunch of things to cover and not a lot of time to do it, and including the PGA is going to be must-see TV today, guys. You're going to see wind blowing like you've never seen before, other than if you're in the studio and watching my mouth come out. But, you know, we're still talking about the playoffs, whether it's the NHL or the NBA. Playoffs are in the second round, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you get paid faster than a fast break. New to FanDuel? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000.
Once again, that's promo code WGRY, and if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat either way.
You'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. 21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Up North Sports Radio, Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel.
I'm sorry.
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins, disc golf guru. And you know what? I'd like to see disc golf played in 35-mile-an-hour gusts, Richie.
It's not easy, let me tell you. When it's blowing 20, I just might as well hang it up and leave. But no, man, it's going to be very intriguing this weekend in Oklahoma.
Yeah, Justin Thomas is one under now and just one back behind Rory McIlroy. If you're not up to date, we're not going to bludgeon this to death because as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to be recording somebody who knows a little bit more about golf than myself, and that's Dan Pohl. I always have Dan Pohl on for the majors. Dan finished in third place in the legendary PGA at Pebble Beach that Lanny Watkins ended up winning. But Rory McIlroy had a beautiful round of golf yesterday.
Sure did.
He shot 5 under while Tiger was +4, 9 strokes difference between the two of them. Tiger Woods looked like he shouldn't have been out there, Rich.
Yeah, he sure did. You know, and he came into it saying he felt pretty well. It felt much better than he did during the Masters. So, of course, that's encouraging words and all that. But then once the round got started, actually started okay, played well, and then all of a sudden the wheels kind of fell off. And
He looked fragile.
He did. He was limping and his gait pattern totally changed later in the day. And it wasn't just because he was playing bad. I think he was in a lot of pain, and that caused him to not play well.
I don't think there's any doubt that he was in a lot of pain. I don't think he's an actor.
Right.
Like me. Oh, that's a fractured ulna.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Rodney.
Oh, exactly. Oh.
Oh, my arm!
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, it's going to be really interesting. The wind is just starting to pick up now. It's supposed to be in full bloom, blowing 20 up to 35-mile-an-hour gusts, and there's nothing harder playing in really hard wind. I played it a few times. You get good amount of wind up here. You can play in 20, and it affects golf pretty much. But when you get over that, you know, I played Pebble Beach once when it was blowing like that, and, you know, you're on the 8th and 9th holes, and you're aiming the ball into the Pacific Ocean,
right,
you know, to have the wind blow it out. It's unnerving to aim at an ocean.
And Oklahoma not noted necessary for their great forest.
No, but that's what I was listening to Anthony Bellino when I was driving in here, and he was talking about it. I texted him a couple of times. I like the Texas golfers.
Yeah.
They play in this type of wind all the time. Jordan Spieth, I would look out for him.
I thought Scheffler would play a little better because he won the Big 12 championship there on that course.
Yeah, but you know, maybe he had his bad round. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got out of there at plus one or plus
yeah,
two.
Still, so. Yeah, he's still not out of it by any stretch.
No. And you know, Justin Thomas is a great wind player. Jordan Spieth is a great wind player. You know, he won the Open Championship and almost won it two more times. Mm-hmm. And that's when wind is a factor. Mm-hmm. The surprising thing, and a lot of people think this, and I heard Bellino say it coming in, is that, well, you know, Rory will be in his element. Rory is not a good wind player. I don't know why, because he plays an American style of golf.
Yeah.
So he does not have the same ability to flight the ball down and the things that you need to do. But his compadre, who won the Open Championship the only time it was played in Ironman 2 years ago, Shane Lowry, is already 200 today.
Yeah.
Watch out for that guy.
Yeah, you automatically assume, because Rory's from Ireland, that they, oh, he's got to be a great wind player. Because they're close, but right.
Yeah.
Something I learned from one of my drill sergeants when I was in basic training way back when, why the wind blows so hard in Oklahoma all the time? Because Texas sucks.
Well, you've got a number of guys like Victor Hovland, who is from Denmark or Norway or one of those Scandinavian countries, went to Oklahoma State. So I like him in this space, and I think Scheffler will play better in the wind.
Yep.
So the guys, you know, Ryan Palmer, there's a whole bunch of guys. Maybe even Ricky Fowler will find his mojo. He's only a one over, but, you know, that's an Oklahoma State product.
Yes.
So is
he ever going to win a major?
Well, he's had a horrible year. He's one of those guys that was that is targeted for the Live Tour, you know, the one with the whole Phil Mickelson. I'm surprised you guys haven't asked me about any of this stuff.
I just hearing more and more out, the excerpts of some of the book quotes and all that are coming out, and it's like, holy cow, Phil.
$50 million in losses in gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of gambling, but I've heard those stories for years. You know, playing in private rooms in backgammon and you know, losing $1 million here, $1 million there.
That adds up to real money.
That's part of the investigation by the Detroit News.
Right.
And, you know, and he blasted the source and everything else. You've got that story wrong.
That's why he stopped coming to Gaylord in the summer for the
par-3 shootout?
Yeah, par-3 shootout, right?
No.
It's not?
No, it had to do with the fact that he stopped being Rick Smith's
That too. Yeah, of course. Rick Smith.
Yeah. He lost what happened is that was all set to go, and he lost the U.S. Open, where it went on the 18th hole when he hit it so badly.
When he said,
I'm such an idiot. And right after that, he fired Smith, and then he walked away from the treetops thing because he didn't have that affiliation.
Right.
So that's why, just to be factual.
Right.
I remember that now.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the conversation that happened a couple years ago where the Detroit News talked about him showing up in, one of those mob trials.
Yeah.
And that the guy had taken like $500,000 in football bets from Mickelson and never paid him. The reporter actually from the Detroit News had some of the issues wrong, and Mickelson went off.
Yeah. And Mickelson was in line to be one of the partners to buy the San Diego Padres at one time. And all of a sudden they did some deep diving and found out what was going on behind the scenes. And like all of a sudden Mickelson was no longer part of that group.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love Phil.
Oh, I do too.
But you know, he's not a perfect human being.
Mm-hmm.
And this book points out some of the good and some of the bad. He is, you know, signs endless autographs, has given him millions of dollars to charity. But there's another book coming out, because if you remember the insider trading scandal that he had to give back like $3 million, the guy that he did the thing with went to jail for 5 years. That guy was pardoned by Trump. And his book is coming out, and that's supposed to have way more credit. Not a two-sided look at Phil.
No, it's a one-sided, and it's
and there's
scorched earth.
There's a lot of other stories that I don't know are going to be in the book about Phil's personal life and his personal life with Amy, which are I'll tell you guys off the air.
You shared some of them last week off the air with me. I was stunned.
Yeah, it's Phil is going to get, you know. Look at it, Tiger. It all happened out in the public, you're right.
Oh yeah,
Tiger and the 37
Absolutely.
Women and everything else, and
right.
and he was forgiven and everything else. And, you know, the biggest, most troubling thing about this whole deal is Phil's complete silence after the one apology.
Yeah, you know, on social media, per se. And then, right, get out in front of the cameras and really let
So I don't know if there's something else really going on.
Mm-hmm.
But he is going to move to that tour because it looks like he had to sell his private jet, Rich. That's how things are tough.
Times are tough. What the heck?
Keith, anything before we go?
I'm zeroed out. Yeah, it's
Gaylord girls softball, number three ranked team in the state in Division II.
Have they lost yet?
I was looking for the record. They're right behind Jackson Northwest and Chelsea, but I think they've lost once this year.
Okay. Led by a good pitcher.
Oh, numerous.
Well, if they make it into the playoffs, we'll probably broadcast those games right here on Up North Sports Radio 101.1 on your dial, the home of the Detroit Tigers, and of course Friday Face Off. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you right here next week.